Good morning, brothers and sisters. Okay, there we go. My name is John Hicks, and I'm I'm a candidate for ministry in the Ohio Valley Presbytery and the Presbyterian Church in America. And I serve at Tate Street Presbyterian Church as a outreach coordinator of outreach to senior living communities, two of them. And we have a worship service there every Sunday in the afternoon. And it's a delight to get to know older adults, serve them, and just remember them, especially as they are in their season of life where they're doing their last lap of life. I'm grateful to worship with you today, and it's good to be with you, and I'm grateful to bring God's Word to you. This morning, we'll focus our attention on three passages, and those three passages paint a portrait of the character and discipleship of Peter. And you can see in your order of worship that the first one is Matthew 16, 13 through 20, which is found on page 822 in your Bible at your pew. So turn there, please. While you're turning there, I want to just introduce us by saying what is amazing about these three portraits is that we don't just look at Peter, but we look at Jesus, who stands in the not just the background, but in the foreground of these portraits. And so my hope and my desire is that this message would exalt Jesus, his glory, his majesty in the life of this church, but also in the life of what we see in this three passages. So follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read these three passages. First, Matthew 16, 13 through 20. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. And then Matthew 26, 30 through 35, which is found on page 832 in your pew Bible. The context is the Last Supper. And after they had the Lord's, what we call the Lord's Supper, they went out, and it's verse 30, we pick it up. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. And then picking up in verse 69, same chapter. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You were also with the Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. And then finally, John 21, 1 through 19. That's the third portrait of Peter. Page 907 in your Bible. Picking up with verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, and with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this holy word, these stories from the New Testament that tell us about Peter, yes, but they tell us about you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are glorified in the pages of Scripture, that every page whispers your name and the gospel is clear in every page of Scripture. Help me, Lord, as I seek to expound it today. Help us all see, including me, the glory of Jesus as I teach and preach this portion of your word. Help us to see the glory of the gospel, the good news that Jesus was and personified in his life, his death, and his resurrection. So Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, behold the wonders of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Stories have the capacity to touch something deep within us. Stories remind us that we are not alone and inspire us to believe what is impossible is actually possible. When Jesus wanted to move people, he told stories. And when today we have three stories that we just read before us about Peter and Peter's Lord. Each passage we read provides for a distinct portrait of Peter, yet when all three portraits are together, they tell us a powerful story that we call the gospel. So let's start. This is a 10,000 foot view of Peter's life from the time that he called Jesus and recognized Jesus was the Son of the living God, the Messiah, until Jesus had been raised from the dead and he met with Peter on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. So when Jesus was with them at Caesarea Philippi, he had a conversation with not just Peter, but all the disciples. And he said, "What do the people say who I am?" And the disciples said, "Well, some say you are John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then he asked the disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter, impetuous somewhat, oftentimes reacting, but he reacted in a way that was, he had the right answer. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He got it right. He understood who this man was, that he was actually the Messiah, the divine God-man. And as he recognized that, the reality was is that the next passage, Jesus, and we didn't read this, but the next passage, as soon as he recognized Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus tells him that he's going to die and be raised from the dead. And Peter says to him, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." And you remember what Jesus said? He said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind to the things of God, but to the things of man." You see, Peter had just recognized that this was the Messiah. But his Messiah doesn't die. His Messiah isn't a humble Messiah. His Messiah takes over the world through force. And so he couldn't understand the mission of Jesus, the life, death, and resurrection plan of God for Jesus. So in chapter 26, Jesus, who knows all things, tells Peter that he will one day deny him. And not only him, but also all the disciples will scatter and will scatter like sheep when the lamb is killed. But Peter said, "Even if all the disciples leave you, I will not." He with all his resolve, he said, "Not me. They may forsake you, but not me." And then the disciples all joined in and said, "We won't either." And as a result, they thought, and especially Peter, that their resolve, their confidence in what they believed was going to get them past any opposition and persecution. But you know the story. Matthew 26, that's foretold that Jesus would see, well, that Peter would actually deny Jesus three times, and he did it ever so increasingly in terms of passion. Look at chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Look particularly at verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." A servant girl. This great disciple of Jesus was afraid of a servant girl. He cowered in the face of a servant girl who would just simply say, "Weren't you one of them? Weren't you one of Jesus' friends?" And then another servant girl comes and says the same thing. This man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And not only did he denied it with an oath. "I do not know the man." And then with more intensity, the third time, the bystanders come up and say, "Isn't he the Christ?" His accent betrays him. And he was, Galilee was in the north. This was in Jerusalem in the south. So they, just like our regions of the country, you have different accents. So they recognized he had a Galilean accent. "Weren't you one of them?" And then he does this. He began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear. Now, we're not talking about swear words that we're talking about. He's swearing to God that he does not know this man. He's swearing to God, just like we swear on a Bible in a courtroom. He's not only, he's bearing false witness, but doing so with an oath and with swearing on God's name. It can't get worse than this. A man who had been with Jesus, his friend for 3 years, and then now, at this moment, where Jesus is in the room with Caiaphas being drilled, so to speak, for claiming to be the Son of the living God. Here's Peter in the courtyard saying, "I don't know this man." Now, once in the book of Luke, it gives us one little glimpse of what happened that I think is very important to understand why the response of Peter when he realized what he had done. It says in Luke 22:60-62, it says, "Immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." At the very moment that he had just said those last words and the rooster had crowed, coming out of the courtroom of Caiaphas, Jesus comes and he turns and he looks at Peter. And Peter all of a sudden remembered the saying of the Lord, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he then went out and wept bitterly. So one thing that I believe these two passages and this teach us is that we sometimes as Christians believe we just need to resolve to serve the Lord. We need to take up our own in our own strength to serve the Lord. That adage some people think is in the Bible, that God helps those who help themselves, is nowhere found in the Bible. What God wants is us to flee to Him, to look to Him, to rely on His strength. Not our own. And that's where Peter failed. He relied on his own ingenuity to say, "He is the Christ, the Son of the living God." But what Jesus told him is that flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven revealed that to you. That is a gift you have received. But Peter didn't see that. He saw what he had understood, what he had come to believe on his own. And here he is in the courtyard of Caiaphas, and he is standing on himself as if he were the rock, the ultimate rock. When you stand on something that is sand, like yourself, you will fall. But when you stand on the ultimate rock, Jesus, you will keep on standing. The second thing that I would like for you to think about in these two passages is that we cannot overestimate who we are. You all have gifts, spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts and talents that you are called to steward for God's glory and for the good of other people. But don't overestimate your own abilities. Don't trust in your own abilities. Here we see Peter saying, Jesus saying, overestimate who you really are. In fact, we're all needy sinners in the need of a Savior to save us. And Jesus helps us understand that. And he does so in this passage. The second thing is, don't underestimate the power of God. And in this case, Jesus. Though Peter fell away, we know in chapter 21 of John that there was a conversation that Jesus had with Peter, and he had breakfast with the disciples. And so that conversation, that one conversation, transforms Peter. So no longer is he a coward, but he is a bold preacher of the gospel. He's not only a bold preacher of the gospel, he writes two letters in the New Testament. What happened? What happened to Peter? He had a conversation with Jesus. An intimate conversation with the Lord Jesus. How do we get transformed? You're here today to worship the Lord. We have a conversation with Jesus. And how do we do that? It's a two-way street. He speaks to us clearly in this book, the Bible. And he reveals himself. Reveals his character, reveals his love for you and me, reveals his expectations for you and me, reveals his plan for you and me. But he also gives us the privilege of talking to him, meeting with him through prayer, running to him as our refuge and our strength, acknowledging that we have no abilities on our own. Jesus says this, apart from me, you can do nothing. You cannot do anything apart from the power and the authority of Jesus. And so, the lesson here is that in order to be truly prepared for ministry, we have to be transformed. And not just once. Yes, Peter was transformed in an amazing way. But the Bible talks about we need to be renewed day by day from one degree of glory to another. It is a process. It is a process of transformation. Sanctification is growing in grace. And so, how does that happen? Through these conversations with Jesus. So, there's a confident confession that Peter makes. But it's on his own ingenuity, on his own power and strength. He shows his hand that he is trusting in himself. He has a collapse of faith. He falls. It nearly looks like he's fallen away for good. But you remember, that Jesus said to Peter at another passage, Peter, Satan's going to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you and you will not falter ultimately. So all this was planned. God in his sovereignty had planned this falling of Peter. Now, Peter's falling is not necessarily the story for all of us, but we have to come either through our own, by the Holy Spirit showing us that we have nothing to offer to Jesus other than our sin and our shame and our guilt. But when we come to that point, when we realize that and we remain in that humility, then God begins to change us from one degree of glory to another. So that conversation with Jesus transforms that disciple. So where are you in these three portraits of Peter? Are you a self-confident follower of Jesus? I can do it on my own. I can serve God on my own without your help, Lord. I want to serve Jesus. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with my own strength. You may not say it that way, but are you functionally living that way? The second thing that might be in your experience right now is you might be a dejected follower of Jesus. You might think, there's no hope for me. I've blown it too bad for me to be even useful now in God's kingdom. And what does he say to you? He says, do you love me? And you have the opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I love you. That's where it begins. It doesn't begin with, I'm going to serve the Lord. It begins with a love relationship with Jesus. So if you're dejected, if you're discouraged, if you are at your wit's end, so to speak, come to Jesus and he will love you. And in his love, you will begin to love him as the Holy Spirit enables. And the third thing is for all of us, we need to be with Jesus. We need Jesus. Christians need Jesus, not just non-Christians. The gospel is for Christians. It's the good news to help us grow. Without the good news and without the gospel, we have no hope. But with it, hope is not only there, but great hope, great transformation. In fact, one day you will be, if you're in Christ, you will be with Jesus. See him face to face. You'll be transformed into the likeness, the way that God intends for you to be, the way he intended for you to be when you were created. So, Jesus meets us wherever we are and desires to be intimately with us, to have a conversation with us through the Holy Word and through prayer. He is faithful to transform us and to energize us for the future service in his kingdom. Won't you let him do that? What a Savior we have. What a Savior who meets us in our need, who transforms us and uses us like he does Peter. There's great hope for you if you turn to him. There's great hope in the way that you serve him. There's great hope for not just your salvation, but your sanctification full in its fullness and your service to the Lord. Praise God for his Savior, for Jesus, our Savior, Peter's Lord and Savior, and our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for these three portraits of Peter. We thank you that you are in them, Lord Jesus. Without you, Peter would not have turned out to be a proclaimer of the gospel, where thousands would be saved on one day, where he would be a writer of the epistle, two letters of the New Testament. No, he would have forsaken you just like Judas. But you, in your mercy and your grace, came to him. You were intimately speaking to his heart, calling him back, restoring him, forgiving and restoring him, and recommissioning him for service in your kingdom. Lord, won't you do that for us? Continue to work in our hearts, maybe for the first time today, or maybe for the 100th time, 1,000th time, but continue to work with us, Lord. We need you. We thank you for this time in your word, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.